2 Samuel chapter number 13. We'll read verses 1 through 6 responsively. I'll read verse number 1 out loud, and then you'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read down through verse number 6, 2 Samuel chapter number 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar, my sister, come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. Today's been a full day. Our hearts are overflowing. Lord, the word of God is so rich, and we appreciate the fact that we come to a place where it's taught, Lord, where we can learn from the Bible how it applies to our lives today. And Lord, tonight, even though we've had a good day, our minds are full of the truths already, and our hearts are overflowing with the excitement of what's taken place, may we be able to just a moment empty ourselves one more time of ourselves, so that way we have room for you to fill us and allow our minds to have place of thought for the word of God as it's preached tonight. Please be with our pastor now. Would you fill him with your Holy Spirit's power, give him clarity of thought as he preaches and delivers a truth that would be a help to all of us. We'd ask that you'd be with us tonight. We'll ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open, and I'm going to preach a sensitive subject tonight. Those of you that have children or young people, don't worry, I will be very appropriate, but some things just need to be said tonight. We have here, probably, in my opinion, and it's only that, my opinion, one of the saddest and most horrific events in the Bible. I believe that everything is in the Bible for us, in order for us to learn from today. The Bible is not a storybook. It's not a history book. It is a series of biographies by God about people that is the never dying, ever living words of God by which we are to live. It is the eternal word of God. And some of the things in Scripture are there to warn us. Some are there for us to learn from others' mistakes. You know, you don't have to learn just from somebody's successes. You should learn from people's mistakes as well, including your own. David had many wives. Let me say this. David was the king. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a prophet. Be careful judging David as a man of God. He was a politician. I think too many times we look at some of these people that God looked at. Don't pick on the politicians, all right? That wasn't a poke at them yet. But too many times we see these people that God used and we think that they were just preachers. David wasn't a preacher. David is a man after God's own heart, but he never pastored a church. He wasn't a prophet, wasn't a priest, he was the king. It doesn't make right everything David did. But before you criticize, just remember, he wasn't a pastor. our last president, Trump. He may not have been the most moral man in his past, but we weren't electing a new pastor of a church. We were electing a president of the United States. I didn't like his tweets. Well, he probably didn't like yours, so what's the difference? It was the only way he had to get his information out into the press so that it could be talked about. In many ways, he was brilliant how he worked the press. Many of David's children, because of his many wives, were half brothers and half sisters. They had the same dad, but different moms. So, and with 5, 6, 7, 8 different wives and all the children, there was a lot of weird situations. And you all thought your family dinners were rough. May I say this, David's family was as messy as many of y'all's families are here in this room tonight. Think about it. One of David's sons happened to be Absalom's brother. His name is Amnon. Amnon had a friend, actually it was a cousin, kind of a half-cousin, named Jonadab. So how do you know it was his cousin? Look at verse number 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. That would have been Amnon's uncle. Amnon's uncle's son would make Jonadab and Amnon cousins. Correct? At least that's how it works in my family. His friend comes and sees Amnon discouraged one day. And he said, "Dude, what's up? How come you're not eating? What's wrong?" And Amnon reveals to his cousin something that should have never been revealed, first of all. He said, "Well, I think I'm in love with my half-sister, Tamar." Must have been from West Virginia. No, I mean, Kentucky. Jonadab does not discourage him. Jonadab says, "Well, let me help you." And Jonadab devises a plan to put Amnon and Tamar together so that Amnon can do what Amnon wants to do with her. Jonadab gives Amnon the plan to and the courage to fulfill an evil plan. Amnon follows this evil plan of Jonadab. He calls for his half-sister and does what Joab helped him plan, and eventually rapes his half-sister. But he found out what he wanted wasn't what he wanted. He now hates her more than he thought he had loved her at first. Tamar's full brother was a young man named Absalom. Absalom finds out what happened to Tamar, and Absalom went ballistic. Absalom is so angry that eventually he ends up finding and killing Amnon. What a mess. May I stop for a moment and remind you? This is the king's family. This is royalty. These are people of power. No family is exempt from problems. Let me say that again. No family is exempt from problems. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're the president. Well, we do care if you are, but it doesn't matter where. People say, "Well, you got the down and out," but have you ever heard of the up and out? there's a lot of people that have a lot of money that have a lot of problems in their families. Money doesn't mean you don't have problems. Wealth and position doesn't mean you don't have problems. But there's something common in this story that I think we need to understand. The problem began with a person named Jonadab. You see, Jonadab is the one who helped Amnon do the wrong that he wanted to do. He did not discourage him, he encouraged him. Not only did he encourage him, but he gave him a plan by which to do the evil that Amnon thought to do. I want to preach a sermon tonight called How to Stay Away from the Jonadabs of Your Life. May I start by saying this? Everybody is going to have the influences of a Jonadab. What are you going to do with it? There are going to be Jonadabs where you work. There are going to be Jonadabs in your family. Everybody's got that person in their family that, you know, you don't want your kids around or not very long. You got that uncle or that person that you know they're going to go off. You know, it's not that they don't have a short fuse. They just put it next to the candle and light it every time they're around. What are those kind of people? You're going to have Jonadabs. By the way, as much as you bring your kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they're going to be around Jonadabs from time to time because they're in the world. Doesn't matter. And just because somebody says something negative doesn't make them a Jonadab. Jonadab wasn't a bad person because he did one bad act. He was evil. Evil is a plan to destroy someone else. Jonadab devised a plan to destroy Tamar. It went from sin to evil when it was a plan to destroy someone else. Evil is not wrongdoing. Evil is to destroy. You have to understand something. Evil people do things for power. They do it for many different reasons. I've warned Jennifer as she moves in politics. There are some evil people out there. And I said, if you'll just stand for right, evil reveals itself. And already has after the first meeting. Matter of fact, I gave her the names before the meeting. And guess what? You don't have to label them. They'll label themselves. And it happens every time. When you stand for right, evil reveals itself. You don't have to expose it, trust me. So how do we stay away from these Jonadabs in life? Number one, Amnon's choice of friends changed his life in a bad way. Amnon's choice of friends changed his life in a bad way. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. I find it interesting. I'll use many verses out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was penned by one of David's sons named Solomon. By the way, Solomon was the son of Bathsheba. It was the son born to Bathsheba after the baby conceived through adultery died, and Solomon was the next one. Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Now, I want you to notice what God says here. A wise man will walk with wise people. But a fool, but watch what it says, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. Everybody look at me for a second. You've heard me say this over and over, and I'm going to keep saying it. Show me who your friends are, I'll show you what you are. I'm glad when I bring my friends here to preach to you, you find out the type of man that I influence myself with. The Dr. Hardings and the Dr. Scott Caudill and the Dr. Jeff Fugits and the Niall Bulkleys and the Brother Chris Drilliards and the Jim Gelhausens. And I could go on and on and on of the men that I've brought here. And I said, these are my friends. And the Jamie Jacksons. If you're dumb, you're going to hurt. I mean, those kind of men that I surround myself with. Say, why do you do that, preacher? Because they that walk with wise men, some of their wisdom's going to rub off on me. I don't hang around foolish people. You show me someone who's evil, I'll show you somebody who hangs around foolish people. Show me the crowd they walk with, I'll show you what they are. Show me the influences of the people who influence you, and I'll show you what you will become. That's why I'm cautious what I read. I'm cautious what I watch. I'm cautious who I listen to. Say why? Because a wise man walks with wise people, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. And I'll show you that here in a little while. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. By the way, I think you ought to know who your children's friends are. I think you ought to have part in your children's friendships. And by the way, everybody look at me for a second. You're not supposed to pick your children's friends. Just because you don't like somebody is not a reason for them not to be friends. They ought to get along. If they're Christians, they can get along, but it doesn't mean they have to spend all their time together. Proverbs chapter 22, look at verse number 24. Make no friendship with a what? Angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. God said, don't hang around somebody that's got a bad temper or a quick temper. You might laugh at me. I don't hang around hotheads. You say, why? Because I know me. I have a quick temper. I have to work at not letting mine come unscrewed. I work real hard to keep it under control. Put me around a hothead and I'm probably going to lose it. And God says, I'm not supposed to lose it, so I got to watch who I'm around. That's why I don't spend time with Scott. I mean, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Amen. You see, God says, make no friend with an angry man. May I say something? Your countenance tells us what you are. I watch people's faces. I know when people are having good days, bad days. Mrs. Barnes, she cracks me up sometimes. She has her major in dairy science. So she got her education with cows. I got my education with people. But anybody that understands the farm industry, especially with cattle, whether it be beef or dairy, cows all have their own personality. Every last one of them. And a farmer knows the personality of a cow. And she often says, preacher, you're just like those farmers. You know people like farmers know their cows. Now, I didn't say she was calling you a cow. She was, anyway. But I watch people. I watch you when you're in church and you don't sing. I watch people's faces. I can tell you when a kid's having a bad day by their countenance. I can tell when they're angry. I can tell when they're just pouting. I can tell, by the way, I can tell when adults are doing the same thing. I can tell you when somebody's listening to me and when they're not. Now, remember, you got three fingers pointing right back at you when you point them. Let me make a couple statements here. Amnon's choice of friends changed his life in a bad way. A real friend will talk you out of doing wrong, not talk you into doing wrong. A friend who tries to talk you into doing wrong is not your friend. Hey, let's go do this. Well, that's against the rules. That's okay. We won't get caught. That person's not your friend. By the way, I wrote this down so you don't get mad at me. Parents allowing grown children to do wrong and you support them financially, you're not being a friend to your child. Well, I don't buy their drugs, but I'll pay their rent. You just bought their drugs. Hate to disappoint you. Well, no, I didn't. Yes, you did, because you gave them their rent money so they could go buy drugs. So you paid for their drugs. You see, well, I love my kids so much. Did you know you're no longer mommy and daddy when they move out? Amen. Plain and simple. Someone who will help you plan wrong or help plan to hurt someone else cannot be your friend. How do you determine if somebody's your friend? Are they trying to help you do right or help you do wrong? Let me ask you a question, and let's bring it to where, let's not put it on children, but let's put it on adults. That person at work that tries to convince you to do something wrong, they're not your friend. When they try to take things a wrong direction, take it against the leadership, you say, well, leadership doesn't know what they're doing. Well, when you go against it, guess what? You're wrong biblically. If you're doing what the boss says and it's wrong, the boss pays for it, not you. I tell people that all the time. I love being an assistant pastor. My favorite statement in the whole world was, preacher. That meant I could pass it up the line. A little different when you are the preacher. Wait a minute, I understood it. I didn't always agree with the pastor for whom I worked. And there was times that I disagreed with him and I was right, but nobody else knew it. And I did what the preacher said. It fell apart. And that pastor would come back to me and said, I should have listened to you. It's okay. Let's fix it. Often I took the blame for what went wrong, even though I disagreed with it from the beginning. That was my job. Everybody doing okay? You say, well, doesn't that shouldn't be. It might not be, but that's what the term assistant is. I was that buffer that people could get mad at and not leave the church, and they could still follow the pastor. No big deal. I can recover. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Had Amnon not spent time with Jonadab, he would not have raped his half-sister. Probably. Listen to this statement. Any influence that helps you or helps you plan wrong is a Jonadab that will destroy you. I wrote four things down. Video games are a Jonadab to most children and adults. I am convinced more and more every week of my life, violence in video games is destroying the morality of Christian people as well as our culture. You can't have a steady diet of killing and have a good scriptural principle and attitude in your life. Because everything in the Bible is against that. Everything. Gossip. Gossip is a Jonadab influence. That's why I stand here and say, I'm not trotting people up here and have them tell you all the bad things they did. All that is a bunch of long-tongued gossips and want to tell everybody. That's all it is. So, I believe that violence, killing, video games, I believe that gossip. I better turn my back on this one. Social media influences. Amen. Be careful who you call a friend on Facebook. I'm not saying all social media is bad, but I'll say this, your life would be a whole lot better without it. Amen. you can't always control who makes comments from Facebook. Because friends of friends then have your information and can comment. That's the part of it that's dangerous, especially for young people. It's not the person directly, it's the sub-person behind that. By the way, that's why I'm cautious what preachers I allow influence me. Some of them are not bad, but they have friends that I won't associate with, so I don't associate the one that's associating with the ones I won't associate with. If this person's wrong, and my preacher friend is here, and I'm here, but he preaches with and has that person preach with him, I'm not going to have that preacher. I'm not going to hate him, but I'm not going to let his influence influence me because he's running with people I don't want influenced by. Everybody understand that? You say, well, preacher, that's pretty strong. Might be pretty strong, but I'm pretty safe that way. I'd rather get to heaven and God say you were too strict than say you should have been a little stricter. And by the way, be careful about all the comments that you read. I never read comments about anything. I don't read reviews. You don't know who left those. You could read 100 reviews that are written by the same person with a different name. Another Jonadab influences is books and Hollywood. Romance novels. Be careful, ladies. I'm talking about some of the things people watch on television. Be careful. It could be a Jonadab influence. I got to hurry, but let me restate. Amnon's choice in friends changed his life. By the way, if you sat in that office and listened to people who have ruined their life and I say, where did you learn that? And they tell me the influence that it was, and their parents didn't even know. My children will tell you, I was a mean, nasty ogre at home. I went through their dresser drawers, their closets. I went between the mattress and the box springs. It was in my house, it's mine, it's not theirs. Well, that's their room, it's private. If it's under your roof and you're paying for it, you better investigate it. Say, preacher, that's an invasion of privacy. Didn't you trust them? Nope. We cleared house a couple few times. Now they got creative. But I was a sinner too, and I knew where to look. You see, you trust too much. Be careful trusting everybody that says they're your friend. Number two, I've got to hurry here. Amnon's love was actually lust. And that's why it turned to hate. Amnon's love was actually lust. And that's why it was able to be turned to hate. Look at verse number 15. Look at verse 14. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. Isn't it amazing when people get what they want and they trash your life and then they tell you to walk away? Amnon stole from Tamar. So because she did not give him what he wanted, and I'm being very cautious here, folks, and he didn't get it the way he wanted, he got angry. I'm not talking to any gender at the moment. I'm just going to make a blanket statement. It's not going to be kind. But for you to get angry because you don't get what you want, you are a selfish pig. That's the nicest way I know how to say that. When you don't get from someone you want what you wanted and you get angry about it, you are showing the ultimate in selfishness and not love. Because love does not seek to be satisfied. Love seeks to satisfy. Love does not want to be satisfied. Love wants to satisfy someone else. It is not about you. Did you know life is not about you? Well, it's my life. If you live it right, it's not. And you'll enjoy it better. Amnon did not keep his wants in check. And Jonadab told him how to follow his wants. I'm going to get myself a few enemies. That's the credit card mentality of today. Get what you want when you want it and then figure out how to pay for it later. I think there ought to be things in people's lives that they wait for till they have the wherewithal to do it. My wife and I have waited for, we've been married 33 years. We've been waiting a long time to do some things. We're just now starting to plan some of them. Might take us a year or two to do something, but we'll put a little aside every week for a year or two till we can do what we want to do. So, well, go get a credit card and go do it, preacher. I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it God's way, not your way. I don't have to have it right now. Part of the fun is looking forward to it and sacrificing to get there. Everybody doing all right? Yes. See, your trouble is you want it, and you want it right now because of your selfishness. You want it as a status symbol. Look what I have. Yeah. Nobody in our culture wants to wait on anything. Sales today is about instant gratification. Rent to own. May I help you with something? If you go to a rental company to get furniture or anything, do me a favor. Take it back and quit being stupid. You can make payments. It's only $140 a month for 10 years. You're going to pay $14,000 for a couch that would cost you $1,500. I'm not kidding. I have people who go furnish their house from rent to own and are paying tens of thousands of dollars to furnish their home when they could have done it for a fraction of that. Why? Well, I can make payments on it. Yeah. I have three other things that are going to make you mad. Credit cards. I'm not against all credit cards, but if you can't control them, cut them up and get rid of them. I think you ought to have one credit card that you, and if you don't know how to manage it, you can make it work for you, not against you. But there's some of you that are tens of thousands of dollars in debt in credit cards alone. And watch as the interest rates go up, how much more that you're not paying that down. Be careful of home equity loans. I'm not, in some cases, against a home equity loan. I've advised some people to do it, especially when the interest rates were low. But I know people who now have taken out so much in home equity loans, as the housing market starts going down, they couldn't get rid of their house if they wanted to because they owe too much on it. You older folks, I love you. They have something out there called a reverse mortgage. Don't buy into it. You're destroying yourself. Well, it's an easy way for me to get cash. If it's an easy way to get cash, that ought to warn you. It doesn't come easy. And if it's easy, it's probably not right. Have you ever noticed the casinos advertise easy money? At least that's what Marcia says. You see, I'm going to make a statement here and go to the third point so that I don't get everybody mad. Getting all you want only makes you angry because then you want more that you cannot get. Getting all you want eventually will only make you angry because then you're going to want more and you can't get it. Isn't it amazing? The car you had, you once wanted, now you hate it. The house you wanted so bad, you have it, now you don't want it. Those tools or that toy or this machine or that thing that you wanted and it sat there for the last 17 years and you haven't touched it. Okay, moving on. Got a coon in the tree. Number three. Jonadab walks away and blames it all on Amnon. And Amnon is killed. The one who's really to blame should be Jonadab, not Amnon. Usually the one that suffers most isn't the one that did the planning. Look at verse 28. Now Absalom commanded his servants, saying, "Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him, fear not. Have not I commanded you, be courageous and be valiant?" And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. All of David's family boys were together one day, and Amnon got drunk, and Absalom had commanded his servants, said, "Look, when he's drunk and I command you, jump on him and kill him." And he did, and notice what it says. It says, "And all the king's sons rode away on a mule." Not all on one mule, but they each had one anyway. Absalom kills Amnon. This is the part that I see most of you never get to see, or you've seen it and don't even know it's happening. Jonadab then goes to King David. And he, by the way, that's Amnon's dad. Word gets back to David that all of his sons were murdered. And Jonadab goes to David and says, "David, not all of them were killed. It was only Amnon that was killed." Look at verse number 30. "And it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David, saying, 'Absalom hath slain all the king's sons, and there's not one of them left.' And the king arose." By the way, isn't that like the media? One's killed, but everybody was wiped out. Mass murder. One got killed. "Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, 'Let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men of the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Now therefore, let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart, to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead.'" Here's the guy who told Amnon what to do and helped him do it. Now that young man is dead, and he stands before that boy's dad and says, "What you crying for? Not all your boys are dead, just Amnon, because of the wrong that he did with Tamar." Wow. But it doesn't stop there. I'm going to show you part of the story we fail to see. Jonadab didn't just destroy Amnon. He destroys Absalom. Now follow this. Look at verse number 38. "So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there how long? 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Absalom flees for his life for 3 years. I'm going to preach a sermon on this in months to come. But listen to this statement. The Bible says that David longed for Absalom, but he didn't go after him. He was estranged from his son for 3 years and never talked to him. Even though David was glad that Amnon faced judgment for the wrong that he did. He never sent word to his son Absalom. Watch this. A man named Joab comes to David after 3 years. Chapter 14 is all about Joab coming to David. Look at me, don't read the Bible. I can give it to you. You can read it later. Joab then comes to David and says, look, it's been 3 years. Absalom loves you, but he's afraid of you. And he said, if you'll go bring him back to Jerusalem, maybe we can get this thing put back together. He said, well, go get him and bring him back. Joab goes and sends for Absalom and brings him back. Look at chapter 14, verse number 28. So Absalom dwelt how long? 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Do you realize 5 years passed and David never saw nor spoke to Absalom? A dad never talked to his son. I can't imagine that. I can't. They lived in the same town for 2 of those years. And they wouldn't even see each other. Oh, by the way. Second Samuel chapter 15, Absalom begins this plan to steal the kingdom away from King David. 5 years of bitterness is being penned up. And Absalom steals the hearts of many of the men of Israel, and he builds an army against his dad, and he actually takes an army and fights the forces against his own father to try to take the kingdom away from his dad. All because a dad wouldn't humble himself and go say, son, I love you. What you did was wrong, but I love you anyway. Let's work through this. Jonadab did not only destroy Amnon. Jonadab destroyed Absalom. Jonadab destroyed the nation of Israel in a civil war. You want to go back to the inception of the civil war of David and Absalom and the Jews? I'll take you to 2 Samuel chapter 13. That Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. It all began because of a man named Jonadab. I wonder how many men died. Oh, by the way, look at 2 Samuel chapter 18. After that civil war, at the end of it, someone takes 3 darts and shoots them through the heart of Absalom because he was hanging in an oak by his hippie hair and the mule went out from underneath him and it was hanging in a tree. And I want you to read with me verse 33 of chapter 18. And the king was so much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son." All those years, he never said anything to his son, and now his son is dead and he can't say anything. Please listen to me. I've stood and heard the screams of mothers over the casket of a dead child. I watched a teenage girl get on top of the casket at the funeral home one day, on top of her dead daddy's body, grabbing him, saying, "Daddy, please let me tell you just one more time. I can't believe I was fighting you the day you died." Wish you could see some of the regret I see because of the influence of Jonadab's. If you don't do it for yourself, how about you do it for your family and get rid of the influence of Jonadab's? It's time to stay away from the Jonadab's. There are people in this house tonight that need to go home and clean some Jonadab's out. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Father, I'm not even sure how to even give an invitation tonight other than to say to our people that they come to an old-fashioned altar and look at their influences and leave this room and go clean some things up so that we don't have the destruction of Amnon, Absalom, Tamar, the kingdom. May we not let Jonadab's influence us.